Okay, so let's talk today a little bit about Kiddusha Rabbah. We've said a few words about it here and there, but haven't really looked at it head on. And the Gemara already is fascinating. The Gemara has some brief statements to make about it, including a great story, which I think we can all relate to, and that itself is very interesting. And there's a lot of debate that swirls around Kiddusha Rabbah. Even the name is mysterious and possibly ironic. So that's also something that we'll try to explore. So the Gemara, just to kind of summarize, I don't have the Gemara in front of me here, but just to kind of summarize, so the Gemara says on Daf Kuvav that there is an obligation of Kiddush during the daytime also, although what exactly it means and how exactly it gets to that is itself interesting. That the Gemara tries to figure out, of course, for Kiddush Hayom, and ultimately what seems to be the conclusion is that we don't really have a source min haTorah for a Kiddush Hayom, meaning Kiddush during the daytime. What we mean when we say Kiddush Hayom has a source min haTorah, we mean the Kiddush of Shabbos, which happens at the Knesset Hayom, meaning the nighttime. So the Gemara itself switches back and forth within this language. We talk about Kiddush Hayom, meaning the daytime Kiddush. So the Gemara uses the phrase essentially in both ways, ultimately concluding that the Din Min HaTorah is about the Friday night Kiddush, the Knesset of the Yom, the beginning of the day. So presumably, the conclusion is that we don't have an obligation in HaTorah to make Kiddush during the daytime. We noted that that is a widely held view of 14 out of the 15 opinions in interpreting Zachar from the Shabbos Lakacho. And even the exception is Maharami Rutenberg. And Maharami Rutenberg in his Tshuva said itself, the comment was cryptic and hard to know exactly where he was coming from textually. So presumably we could really agree that Kiddush during the daytime is Rabbanan, certainly if one did make Kiddush at night. If one did not recite Kiddush at night, then it's possible that the obligation of Kiddush Min HaTorah is being fulfilled during the daytime. But assuming that Kiddush was recited at night, so Kiddush during the daytime is Midrabanan. And the Gemara poses the question as to what should be recited for this Kiddush. And what we have is what we know is simply a bracha of Baruch Hu Hagafen. Now, nowadays, we try to spruce that up a little bit, so there are different practices of how to do that. In my case, it probably depends on how many people's attention I need to get before we actually get to the Kiddush. So, shul, for example, do the longer possibilities among the psukim in order to get everybody quiet at home, get their focus, and make it a little shorter. But we know that those are psukim in order to give more context to the Kiddush. But Nikar Hadin, the Kiddush is fulfilled with simply the recitation of Baruch Hu Hagafen, and that's what the Gemara tells us over there on Daf Kuvav. The Gemara tells us this is a great story about Rav Ashi. I think we can all relate to that. Rav Ashi was in the Mechuzah, and they were mechabed him with Kiddusha Rabbah, which, as we mentioned, the phrase is a little bit mysterious, because the language literally translated means the big Kiddush, and it's not a reference to when they have a chalent or carbon stations or whatever. It seems to be the standard reference for every Shabbos day Kiddush. So calling it Kiddusha Rabbah already makes you wonder what's going on, what's such a big deal about this Kiddush. So he wasn't sure, and one of the very relatable parts seems to be that he just kind of tried to play the situation until he could figure it out. So he made the Baruch Hu Hagafen, because he knew you always have to have a Baruch Hu Hagafen at the beginning. And then, as Mar says this explicitly, he schlepped it out a little bit to see if people were ready to drink right as soon as he was finished, or were they expecting more from him, and then he would figure out if there was supposed to be more to it. So that prompts the Rishonim to raise an issue, which we won't focus on so much, but the Rishonim asked. So apparently, if that story worked, so it seems like they were starting to drink before he did, and isn't that a problem? Let's not have to deal with Hamotzi, Rishon, okay, Hamotzi is different. But in any event, so that's what emerges from the Gemara, right? What do we have, just from the Gemara itself? That we have this din of Kiddush during the daytime on Shabbos, that it is not Minhatorah, and that it consists of a Bar Pri Hagafen, and that it has this funny name, Kedusha Rabbah. That's basically what we know from our Gemara on Daf. So what do we want to know? What questions come to mind in terms of trying to figure this out? And if you've seen some of the Rishonim, you may have already noticed a few issues. If you saw the Rambam of the Ravid, certainly if you saw the Rabbeinu David, his really very thoroughly brings up all the issues in a somewhat Achram-like style. So what would you want to know and understand about Kedusha Rabbah? Yeah, baby.
You want to know why it's called Kedusha Rabbah.
Okay, so that's one question, right?
I know it says in terms of sources that we really don't know why.
The Rabbeinu David, he quoted his rabbi from the Ramban, and it's a sod nelam, right, which is probably the most extreme approach to this, because you're just not worthy of knowing, basically. This is just beyond us trying to understand exactly where this name comes from. And it's fascinating because this question rightly troubles you because you see it troubles everyone, but it doesn't really go to the core of the issue. But yeah, it clearly is in the background a lot, so it's such a surprising name. So, it seems really probably the simplest answer is to say it's what we call the Lashon Saginar. It's one of these ironic names that the smaller one is being called big. But you see that, as you're pointing out, it was intriguing enough that the Rishonim did try to figure it out, that it probably threw Ravashi already, going back to his time, that he was trying to figure out what this Kedusha Rabbah is and how many words is he going to have to say. And that, so for the Rabbeinu David to quote this line, that it's a sod nelam, a lofty secret, a secret that's hidden, that's beyond us. And who else brings it up in a consequential context? The Ravid, right? The Ravid, in his harsh disputation against the Rambam, he says that the Rambam got thrown by this, by the fact that it's called Kedusha Rabbah, so it misled him in understanding how the din should be applied. So it's really a pretty fascinating issue. Again, it doesn't seem to go to the core of what's in, but this name really brought about quite a lot of discussion and debate. So, right, so the simplest answer probably is that it's an ironic name, but we see that it was enough to trouble the Ramban, trouble the Ravid, the name of the Ramban, trouble the Rashi. It's definitely a issue that attracts our attention. Beyond that, what else would possibly be curious to us? Harry?
When we try to discuss in Roshan, why we're even having flying before this meal to qualify as obligatory and
moral. Okay, right. So let's take it one at a time. So why are we doing this? What are we going to, especially since we don't think it's included in the Din Min HaTorah. So it is something which is presumably Drabbanan. So why did Chazal put this here? Okay, yes, go on.
And if it's on the side of the camp where its source is not Semi-Sem, well, it's Kiddush, why does it nonetheless share some of the practices of Kiddush where maybe one person is deciding, and even if he's part of the obligation, maybe he knows the other people, you know, if they're than Adam, presumably, or maybe not being able to eat before Kiddush, but it isn't really Kiddush, so why can't we eat?
Okay, so those are great questions. Let's try to just frame them a little differently, but you're on the definitely right track with those questions. So first of all, the issue of it overlapping with Din and with Kiddush. So one thing that emerges from the positions that we've shown him, and we'll once again credit Rabbeinu David with being the most explicitly Chakira-ish and Lomdish, but even just the question of essentially what is it? So is this Kiddush Midrabbanan? Or is it really something else? Is it something which really differs fundamentally from Kiddush? And why, you know, we were talking a second ago, why it's called Rabba, but maybe we could also ask why is it called Kiddusha? That maybe it's not really the same thing as Kiddush. Maybe it has certain superficial commonalities to Kiddush, but maybe it's not really a kind of Kiddush. Maybe it's some other din. So these points that you're making about where it overlaps with Kiddush and where it doesn't, so that's interesting. And as you're also alluding to, some of the points are controversial, whether they're true or not. Some of them were points of disagreement, whether they happen to apply to Kiddush Rabbah. So to figure out whether this is a Kiddush Rabbanan or a different kind of din that it's called Kiddusha maybe imprecisely and maybe only superficially linked to Kiddush is a question which is definitely lurking behind the surface. And it's also interesting, just this whole relationship is a really fascinating comment in the Rabbeinu David together with a footnote which works to explain it. And, you know, we're always interested in Dinim Darabanan and Dinim Daraisa and their relationship to each other. It's one of the major foundational principles of Torah Shema Peh, and that's why we spend so much time on it, because it really always illuminates things. So the very fact that there's any attempt to connect it to a pasuk at all, even if we assume that it's not the literal meaning of the pasuk and that it's an asmachta of some kind, so still, you see, Rabbeinu David was troubled even by that. Right? That the Rabbeinu David thought that even that should be unnecessary, which is very, very interesting, because the question, okay, I copied the language here, but the need for any kind of an asmachta at all, any kind of a pasuk, is interesting. And his language, I have it here. Im tomar shehu ke'ein zecha shel kiddush, eino inyan lomor oso min hakasus. That if this is some kind of a additional quasi kiddush, we wouldn't even need to talk about a pasuk at all. And I'd even acknowledge that it's not the direct meaning of the pasuk, but still the involvement of the pasuk at all. He says is unnecessary. She'inyan zeh shel zecha mitakanes chachamimu. Right, so that's a really significant statement just about the relationship of asmachtas to dinim derabanan, and when we have asmachtas and we don't have asmachtas. Here he's saying something very consequential, that as a zecha l'kiddush, we don't even need not only a pasuk, but even an asmachta. So here, let's see if I can get a better angle on this. The footnotes address that issue because that's a very not pashut statement. So if you have a chance to see the footnotes here. So footnote 5, he explains, or tries to explain what that comment means. The first says, I am Baran, Shapir Shakir, Shayomas, Lucham, Zech, Lukiddish, but Rosh, Asmach, Tabal, Mahu. Right? So that's a more expected kind of statement. Okay, so then we're up on that, and we have Asmach, so okay, fine. Over. But then, the question that lurks is, so what about Rabbeinu David's comment that you wouldn't even need an Asmach for that? So to that he writes, the Nira, Shemash, Malala, Rabbeinu, She'en Chachamim, Omrim, Makorla, Takanos, and Midrash, Tapasuk, Ella imkain bol usakin din chadash medivrehem. Aval im lo hiskavnu bekiddish shal yom, ella laslo zecha lekiddish shalayla, lo hayu som chunachol lekasu. So that if they were just trying to make some kind of a zecher, so we wouldn't need even asmachta for that. Which is really, really interesting to think about it. Again, the whole nature of the relationship between these dinim and the way asmachtas work. And what's also interesting is because we spent some time this year talking about inyanim that are a zecher and how they might be treated differently, and we had a little bit of a difficulty with that also, because some issues that are a zecher have a bracha and some don't. We saw this in the context of maror and in the context of Sfirat HaOmer, and we tried to figure out what the rules are. So it's also interesting here, because there, those are Sfirat HaOmer and Mar, so we do them nowadays as a Zecher, because we don't have the context to fulfill them on a level of Min HaTorah. So there you have a Din Min HaTorah, and the context is not there to fulfill it. So we have a Zecher, and that's some type of a Din D'Rabbanan with its own kind of parameters, maybe even less than a Din D'Rabbanan, whether it should get a Brach or not. That was part of the whole discussion. So there, we could understand why that would be not subject to an Asmasa. Because if the Torah is addressing the ideal context, so then it wouldn't need to somehow, let's say if you take the Ritva's idea that an Asmasa includes on some level, the intention of the mitzvah, so then you could understand that as far as the Torah is describing, the mitzvah is fully relevant. So why should it have to include any kind of a reference to what to do when you don't have that context anymore? But here, that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about a zecher with mikdash. We're talking about a zecher during Shabbos day, of what we do Friday night. So that's not a kind of a replacement because of the Bidyabit situation, because of the Churban. It means that for whatever reason, Chazal wanted to add this in also. So it's harder to understand what he means when he says there's no need for Asmachta for that. Now, one of the most, a topic also that we talked about extensively this year, the whole idea of not blowing the shofar on Shabbos, and the idea that there is one of the discussions that's probably in the Yerushalmi, that it sounds like from the Yerushalmi, that that's the interpretation of the pasuk Zichar and Trua, that the understanding is that even the HaTorah was somehow conveying to us what the din should be in the context of Shabbos, where the assumption normally is that that's a Din D'Rabbanan, and that prompted that whole discussion. But there again, so that's something that was coexistent with the time of the Torah. So to say that this, which would also have been coexistent, doesn't need any kind of a source, and not even an Asmachta, is a very interesting concept. I'm not sure exactly how to understand what it's getting at. And again, you see other Rishonim were not afraid of calling this an Asmachta. Okay, so that can be one question. Is this a Zecher LeKiddush or not? Or is this some kind of Kiddush Drabanan? Or is it something else entirely? So what else might it be? If it's not a Kiddush Drabanan, so what else might it be? All right.
I think we saw a question in the Rosh Hashanah. Like that Kiddush or having plans for a meal, it's an extension of the meal, and maybe have it be sort of the distinction between other weekday meals and the meal of the Shabbat, and you should have it kavua on the line.
Okay, right. So it sounds like from the Rosh Hashanah that it is really its own kind of din, that we want to distinguish the meal of a Shabbos from the regular meal. So as part of a Kavod Shabbos, so we want to highlight this distinction, and therefore we should have wine with it. Now there is a whole discussion, I don't know if you had a chance to see the Shiltos and the Nativ. The Rashbam refers to the Shiltos. Right? The Shiltos was written by Rav Chaigon. It was in the 900s. It was really from the late Rishonim, late Gonim, rather, right before the era of the Rishonim, a century before Rashi. And his writings, his Shiltos, were, if I'm not mistaken, written for the purpose of his son. He wanted his son to have a way to relate to all of Torah in a kind of Parshas HaShavuah format. So he broke up all of Torah into that kind of a structure, and that's the Shiltos. And the Shiltos, among its many other values, also is a launching pad for women of his great Tzvarim. So I think that Shalom, his commentary on the Shiltos, very important, often quoted sefer. So as the Netziv discusses, the Shiltis that the Rashbam references is not exactly saying what the Rashbam is saying. That the Rashbam says that we want to have this distinction of a Shabbos Suda from the rest of the week. And therefore, we establish it online. And he notes there that the Ein Shira El Yain. So the difference is that it sounds like from the Rashbam's language that that's the reason that we do this in the first place. That's the whole motive for this Kiddush Rabba, is this idea of Ein Shira El Yain. While from the Shiltis, it doesn't sound like that's why we do the Kiddush. We do the Kiddush as some kind of an Asmachta to Zachar Soma Shabbos Akacho. So once you have it with Kiddush, so why are we doing it with wine specifically? Okay, we'll do it with wine because Ein Simcha El B'Yayin. So that's itself something interesting to investigate and to pursue. But so that's one possibility, that basically we want to have our Seudos over wine. And that itself is interesting, because if that was the case, so then, as we've brought up a few times recently, it would seem like Shal Shudas should really also have that kind of a status. And that is the view that's associated with the Rambam. We've also mentioned that recently, that the Rambam to require wine by Shal Shudas too. Even though there are other places in the Rambam where it doesn't sound like that. So there's a little bit of a discussion if that's indeed the case. But that possibility that really this is something that makes sense, at least, if not as an absolute field, but certainly as something that fits, to have a Kiddush, or some kind of a Kiddush, at Shal Shudas too. Now, the Ben Yona disagreed with that. The Ben Yona said, no, there's no point, that this is the Kiddush during the daytime is a din in an additional Kiddush. So once you've done that, there's no need to do it again. So the idea of a extra Kiddush for Shal Shudas, according to him, didn't make sense. Now, what's also interesting is that if we assume that this is a din in Kiddush, so then there could be another nafkamina. And what's also interesting is that here the Rambam seems to be going in the other direction. So the Rambam requiring wine for Shal Shudas, it sounds like it's not really about a Kiddush. It's about establishing your Seudos on wine. But in another important way, when he talks about this in Mishneh Torah, which we referenced in Parak Chafet, Malachi Yud, so there it sounds like he does see it as a Kiddush and having the rules of Kiddush, as Ari was alluding to before. And the rule that attracted the most attention there was, what? You alluded to it before. And that got the Rishonim very upset at him. And also other Rishonim are also, Rabbeinu David, for example, was very dismissive of this point, that the Rambam requires that there should not be any eating before Kiddush Rabba. So that is a part of a structure there which does make it sound like the Rambam in that context understands that it's a Kiddush Rabbana. That which would seem to conflict with the idea of having it as Shal Shudas, but that we relate to this as another Kiddush. And therefore, some of the trappings, at least in Kiddush, should apply, including this idea that there is a prohibition of eating beforehand. So, his language was, this is nothing, this doesn't make sense. But also, the Ravid, especially over there, the Ravid over there gets very upset about this. What's he talking about? This is not... This is one of the worst things he's ever said. He was really, really worked up about this. And he said he got misled by the language. He thought that the fact that it's called Kiddush Rabba, so that got him off track. And he doesn't know what the word means, and he shouldn't see this as a big Kiddush. This is a whole different kind of din. and you shouldn't have a halacha of not eating beforehand. So that, but also sympathize with the Raya's view there. So this is consistent with the approach that Rabbeinu David is advancing throughout his discussion, that he thinks there really is a din of being koveya, your meals, on wine. And if that's the case, so then it really could theoretically apply to all the meals, but shouldn't have this din of not eating beforehand. And also one of the points that Rabbeinu David addresses there is that it doesn't have to really be called Kiddusha Rabbah, not just the Rabbah part, but even the Kiddusha part, because Kiddush is not really a literal reference. This is not Kiddush, this is something else which happens to look like Kiddush, but doesn't necessarily have the same kind of gather to it, rather not in terms of details or even in terms okay, so far so good. Come with me. So, what are some practical possible ramifications for this? So, one question is the role of the Birchas Hanen in here. Right, that's itself a question. So, we discussed in the context of Kiddush at night, where the Bari Pri HaGafen is there together with another bracha. So that bracha itself has an unusual status. Because normally the Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Kotet, if you want to be mostly somebody else who hasn't heard Kiddush yet, but you have, so then you should need Arvus. In general, for any mitzvah that you want to fulfill in somebody else's behalf, so we should need the principle of Kol Yisrael Areva. However, that should only work, would seem, for the bracha of Kiddush. The bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen is a Birchas Hanenin, and normally we don't apply Yotza Motzi to a Birchas Hanenin. If you're already Yotzi, so then you can't be Motzi somebody else when you are not Chayiv personally. So, the Gemara poses the question of whether that should apply to the Bari Pri HaGafen of Friday night. And the Rishonim have different spins a little bit on why that is. Why should that be different? If normally all other Berachos Hananim are subject to this exclusion, so why should Bari Pri HaGafen of Friday night be different? So it sounds like from Rashi that because, practically speaking, you're obligated to do it, that's the key issue. So normally, if you want to have a piece of cake, so then that's not a chiyuv. So that doesn't trigger arvus. But here, you need it. So therefore, even though it's technically a berachas hananin, that puts itself in the same category as berachas hamitzvah. But it's also possible, the way the Ritva seems to understand, that it also has to do with its tzichus there, that it's connected to a berachas hamitzvah and becomes kind of a part of a berachas hamitzvah. So maybe that's the story. So during the daytime, that would be a difference. On the one hand, you need it, but on the other hand, it doesn't connect to another bracha that would give it that kind of a status. Now, that itself is the question, right? The very fact that we only make a Bari Pri HaGafen for a Kiddush during the daytime, setting aside whatever psukim we may or may not want to add at the beginning. But the fact that we only have a bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen, so does that tell us anything? Is that any kind of a clue as to what it is? Yeah, Ari?
Excellent,
right? So the Ritzvah is very significant. What does the Ritzvah say? That the Ritzvah says that because it's the Rabbanan, they shortened it. Right? That essentially sounds like from the Ritzvah that it's not fundamentally different. It's just that we were kind of more makel for the din the Rabbanan. So really, it's like a Kiddush. But because of the Rabbanan status, it was shortened to just by a Pri HaGafen. But according to the other side, you could say no, that the reason it's just a Pri HaGafen is because there's no reason for it to be anything more. That if the idea is we're just trying to be koveya the meal on the wine. So, okay, that's really what it's about. It's about the wine. And therefore, having a Bari Pregafen is really just there for that purpose. And you don't need that even. You don't need anything more. And I say you don't need that. Now, of course, you do need that for the bracha. But maybe what happens is to be ever if you left it out. So that was actually a topic in Rav Nevenfeld's sefer, Yerushalayim V'Mo'adah, a sefer on Mo'adim, a volume, a few volumes on Shabbos. So there, he inclines to say that if somebody were to drink wine during the daytime on Shabbos, and even not make a brach at all, just forgot and just drank a cup of wine, so he thought that Me'ikr Hadin, you probably were Yotze, the Chiyuv of Kedusha Rabbah. Because since that's probably what it's about, and the footnotes there, they point to this whole discussion, this whole question that one could ask, is what the purpose of Kedusha Rabbah is. So he seems to incline, it's about establishing the Sudos on wine. So if you have wine, even if you didn't make a bracha at all, so then thought Me'ikra Din, you probably were Yotze, this idea of Kedusha Rabbah. Now, practically speaking, because it's a suffix, so in the end, he says probably the best idea is to have another cup of wine and make a bracha on it. And it's not like any other kind of a suffix where you say suffix l'hokel, because if you're going to have more wine and you didn't make a bracha till now, so then you'd be obligated in the bracha for sure. So there's no reason to have to say suffix l'hokel and leave it out. So therefore, that would be the most advisable approach to such a suffix. But Me'ikra Din, he thought that you probably were Yosei because he understood that as the nature of the obligation. And then, since it's a Drabanan, so you may recall, in terms of Kavana, when we talked about the question of Mitzvah Tzrichus Kavana or not, so we went through all the questions of whether distinguishing on the Daraisa Drabanan level makes more sense one way or another, but either way, the most famous position is what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Radbaz, that mitzvot Rabbanan don't need kavana. So if you assume we don't need kavana, and it's a Rabbanan, and it's just to have wine for the Suda, so then maybe if you just drank wine, even without any brach at all, maybe Me'ikr Adin, you would be Yotzer. Another possible ramification and question is, how exactly, to go back to the Arvus question, really whether this is something that doesn't need Arvus or does need Arvus, really goes to the basic question of what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the bracha or is the mitzvah the wine? Right? If it's a kiddush drabanan, then probably the bracha is the mitzvah. The bracha priyagafen becomes a mitzvah in itself, becomes a brachas mitzvah. Or become something like a bracha a mitzvah. Or a bracha, that is a mitzvah. While if the mitzvah is the wine, so then the bracha is really not about that, and the bracha is just to be matir, the wine, but it's not really a part of the functioning at all. And the mitzvah is the wine. So that would lead to the conclusion of Rav Nevenfeld, the inclination of Nevenfeld, that you could be yotzei that for bracha. But also, more practically, and more l'chashiva, so in terms of who tastes the wine, so here that's also a question. Tzvi Kozelewski in his shiurim, he connects the issue to this point. And he suggests that if we understand that the bracha is the mitzvah, so then it should be enough for one person to make the bracha. And he should taste, okay, because someone should taste from the wine. But the other people assembled don't have such an Indian to taste. But if the idea is that it's the wine drinking itself that is the din, so then it would make sense maybe that everyone should taste a little bit. So one person can recite the bracha, and everyone can be okay with him as far as the bracha is concerned. But everyone should taste a little bit in order that they can partake of this idea of establishing the Suda al HaKol, establishing the Suda on the wine. Make sense? Okay, so just quickly recap, and I'll have to log off. So tomorrow, I'd like to talk about Havdalah a little bit. Maybe we'll add a word or two about this, but generally just try to make a Havdalah on this video. So basically, what do we talk about today? So we saw that the Gemara tells us the din of Kedusha Rabbah, that's the bracha of Baruch Yagafen, and that's it, basically. And a lot to try to figure about the name. The name seems to be an ironic name, but it's a name that provoked a lot of issues with people, with Ravashi, who wasn't sure how much he was supposed to say, and was the Ram, quoting the Ramban, that it was called Melam, and with the other points going on down, and with the right was saying that it left the Rambam off track because he thought it was a bigger deal than it is. And even Kiddusha is a tricky concept, because is this Kiddush at all? Or is this a whole different kind of Din Rabbanan to be Koveya the Sudos on wine, and as Rashbam says, because of the Simcha, and because of the Kavod Shabbos, and to distinguish, maybe that's essentially what it's about, but it's not really a kind of Kiddush at all. And Rabbeinu David had that fascinating comment about Asmasas, we looked at it a little bit. And then in terms of the various nafkaminas, the question was, is this to eat beforehand? The question of what happens if you make Kiddush without a bracha, without even intent, if you just drink wine, should that count on some level as a Kiddush? And the question of who should be tasting, should it just be the Mekadesh, or should it be everybody in order to have that as part of their Suda? That was all raised the question. Also the question of why it should be part of the Agafen, that was the question that Rishonim dealt with, and the question of whether it makes sense to extend this to Shal Shudas as well. So all of these were among some of the issues that we saw. Okay, so we will stop there. I wish you an amazing day, and look forward to our extended Havdalah tomorrow. So it's going to be exciting parts of the Havdalah. Have a terrific day.